something that may have been sent to you. And the stimulus stuff that's going on, businesses and individuals and families and so on, we're making sure that gets sent to us. Some people might feel like this virus thing was something God sent. As far as I know, it was made in a lab and man-made, man's mistake, and we're suffering the consequences of it now. Man's technology and knowledge doesn't always turn out for the good. As conceited and pompous and proud as man may be at times of all of this stuff, most of the time it doesn't turn out very good. Now, I'm thankful for medical technology. I'm thankful for the abilities of man to do some things, but I'm still going to put my trust in God and believe Him. Thank the Lord. I want to turn your attention to the book of Genesis, Genesis chapter 5, and we'll focus just on verses 7 and 8. Genesis 45, verses 7 and 8. Joseph is assuring his brothers that you had something in mind far different for me, your brother. But God, oh, I'm thankful we can always recognize God had His plan. God had His purpose. God had His way. Amen. And when we determine that's what we're going to fulfill, that's what we're going to see, it's going to turn out. Amen. And that's what Joseph is saying to them here. Verse 7, God sent me before you to preserve you, a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. He's emphasizing God sent me. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. He's nailing it down again. He hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Amen. Verse 5, in the second phrase of that verse, God did send me before you to preserve life. What a confidence Joseph had. Now, we're going to look at some of the things he went through, but he's at the other end of it now. He's at the point where he could look back, and these three times he would emphasize, God sent me. Praise God. And knew that God was going to work it out all right. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. I believe that we can trust for the Lord to do a work in our circumstances, our affairs, our situations that sometimes may not be pleasant. A lot of the times it's not pleasant when we talk about things here in this life and accidents and sicknesses and diseases and setbacks, you know, and so on. But I'm thankful the Lord could send by His power and by His purpose. I glanced at Matthew 14 and noticed that in that place the Lord was telling His disciples, let's come apart here. Let's go into a desert place. You have to remember, too, that the Lord being God and Jesus being God manifest in the flesh. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And amongst all of that, you still have to remember there was flesh. He was the God-man, fully human, fully God. Just an amazing display of what the Lord would fulfill in His plan. He had just gotten word, or at least it happened recently, that John had been beheaded. He'd been executed. And the story is contained there in Matthew 14 about Herod and then Herodias and the dancing of the daughter and all of that, a debaucherous display and all, and John's head being asked for a reward. And just the horrible things. Now, remember, this is not only a fellow minister of the Lord. This is his cousin. And they're 6 months apart. And so their connection, even though he's a voice crying in the wilderness, he's the one who's preparing the way, he's the one who's very strong in his ministry, there's still a connection, and now he's gone in dreadful circumstances. And the Lord is feeling that, and he's telling his disciples, let's depart for a little bit here. They didn't even have as much time or leisure to eat. So they're off in a desert place, and the people follow them there. Multitudes follow them there, 5,000. And the Lord says, we need to give them something to eat. If we went and bought 200 penny worth of bread, would that be enough? Well, how many loaves do you have? 5. How many fishes do you have? 2. Let's give them something to eat. The circumstances we face sometimes and our limited resources, and we wonder how in the world is this going to work out. But when the Lord sends the blessing, when the Lord sends his word, praise God, I'm thankful you can step out with confidence that the Lord is going to get his work done. Amen. Send them away. No, send them some food. Amen. And they eat. He tells his disciples, he sends them, go on a ship, head over to the other side, Bethsaida, and I'll be with you. And the Lord goes up to a mountain to pray. He's up there praying. The disciples are trying to get across the lake, but the winds are contrary, the waves have arisen, and it's just not going good for them. But it's night. Now, height on the water increases to a degree the distance that you can see. So the Lord being up on a mountain could perhaps see them out on the lake, except it's night. It's dark. How did the Lord see them? How did the Lord know they were toiling and that the winds were contrary and that there was circumstances that were not favorable? Understand, the Lord sees you. The Lord knows where you're at. He knows what you're up against. He understands sometimes the feelings of confusion and of questioning and of the why and all of those things that go through our human minds and hearts when we're wondering, how is this going to turn out? Are we going to get to the other side? Are we going to make it through this storm? Is there going to be peace and calm again? And the Lord shows up. Praise God. Walking on that water. Hallelujah. Oh, my. If our spiritual sensitivity could be, tuned a bit and we're able to see him there with us when we go through those storms and difficulties. Praise God. Of course, they were frightened. They thought it was a spirit. But the Lord does some of the be and be not situations there. Praise God. Be of good cheer. Be not afraid. Amen. They're still in the storm. The wind's still whistling in the ropes and the sails. They're still having difficulty rowing. And they're frightened, not only of the sea, but of the spirit that they see. But, oh, I'm glad they hear the voice of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want it to be familiar to you. I want you to be able to recognize instantly the voice that speaks to you. Because the devil will definitely say his piece. He'll definitely make his accusations. He'll definitely try to convince you that there's nothing but fear and fear alone that you will experience. But thank God we can hear that voice. We can hear his voice. Hallelujah. And know he'll be there for us and provide the way. Praise God. Praise God. And when they received him in the ship, immediately calm. Peter, remember, walking because the Lord said, come. Amen. And the waves and the wind tried to send him to the bottom, but when he was walking with the Lord, they made it back to the ship. Praise God. Oh, let the Lord send you his peace. Let the Lord send you the calm of his presence. Let the Lord help you experience his compassions that fail not. Praise God. Praise God. Now, back to Joseph. A favorite son of a favorite wife. A coat of many colors. And the dreams that he had. Well, that didn't sit too well with his brothers. 10 of them are older than him. 1 is younger than him. And they're out taking care of the flocks, and Jacob sends Joseph to his brothers. And it was to deliver supplies, yes, but also an evaluation, see how they're doing. And he went with them, saying, I seek my brethren. But his journey was going to turn out to be far more than what he had thought. The jealousy that gripped his brothers made them tear his coat of many colors off and dip it in blood and so on, you know, concoct the story of this is what we found. Apparently a wild animal got a hold of Joseph. But they cast him into a pit. Now, Song of Solomon 8 and 6 makes 2 comparisons. The comparisons are, love is as strong as death. That's the strength of love. Jealousy is cruel as the grave. And the brothers focused on the wrong comparison. They focused on jealousy. And they sold Joseph into slavery. An evil plot, an empty pit, an Egyptian purchase, just going downhill fast. Now, the company of Ishmaelites that they saw on the horizon, a caravan of camels, a trade on the trade route going down to Egypt, Ishmael, where we heard that name before, but they had spices. They had balm, they had myrrh, oftentimes concocted into medicinal treatments and so on, but there was nothing to treat Joseph's broken heart as his brothers pulled him out, made the exchange for 20 pieces of silver. That means they only got 2 each, 10 of his brothers, 20 pieces of silver. Here's your 2, here's your 2. And there goes their brother. It's not a good picture. He's 17 years old. And his journey from that point is 300 miles down to Egypt. It's not a luxurious journey. He's a slave. It's not something that he would enjoy and that things would be peaceful, and he'd be waited on, and all of the circumstances would turn out to be good for him. And what thinking now would be in that 17-year-old mind? God sent me for this? Where is God? Am I ever going to see my father again? And what will my mother think? And, you know, like that. It just the situations that are so difficult and so hard. The statements that we read in Genesis 45 are a long ways away. They're many years away yet. God sent me to preserve you. Hard sometimes to look ahead. But I'm thankful in all of the trauma and all of the trouble and all of the topsy-turvy situation here that Joseph is going through, God was his still point. God was his foundation. God was the one that he put his trust in. He's not a ruler in Egypt yet. That's a long ways down the road. The dreams have not been fulfilled yet. They're still to come. But he held on. Somehow he held on. Amen. And the Lord was there. We hurry through the story. Potiphar's house. The Lord was with Joseph. Potiphar saw that, put everything in charge of Joseph. Mrs. Potiphar and her temptations and her framing, that Hebrew that you brought into the house and so on. How unjust. How unfair. But Joseph determining, I can't do this wickedness. I can't do this wickedness against God. He understood it could have been something that he took advantage of. It could have been something that he allowed himself to be advanced and promoted, not only in that place, in that situation, but others as well. But no, he said, I can't do this wickedness. Amen. So in prison, the Lord is there with Joseph. The king's prisoners were bound there. Psalm 105, verse 17, it says, he sent a man before them, Joseph, sold as a slave. Verse 18, this is the NIV makes it a little more graphic. They bruised his feet with shackles. His neck was put in irons. Oh my, what a difficult situation that God would send him. The outcome in doubt for Joseph, but not for God. God knows what his plan is. Amen. God knows how it's going to work out. And dreams, dreams become part of the equation again. The chief butler and the baker have dreams, and they're trying to compare notes and trying to understand 3 days and three things. You know, they're talking about him. Joseph understands. They were sad because there was no interpretations. Joseph told them, do not interpretations belong to God? Look how he's still relying upon the Lord. He hasn't forsaken. He hasn't given up. He hasn't thrown in the towel. He hasn't decided, if this is how God's going to treat me, I'll throw it away. Oh, no. He's still holding on. Amen. And the answers for the butler and the answers for the baker, as far as their dreams were concerned, came to pass. And praise God. Not only was there an answer for the butler, but the butler became an answer for Joseph. The only problem was he forgot for 2 years. So the situation goes on. But Joseph was faithful. Praise God. Joseph held on. And finally, Pharaoh's dream. This dream's still happening. Nobody could figure it out. Nobody could give the answer. And then the butler remembered a Hebrew. He called him that, a Hebrew. Amen. They sent for Joseph. He shaved, he was changed, and he went before Pharaoh because he's not going back to that dungeon. Amen. He's being changed now. That was my identity for years and years, but I'm different now. I'm stepping into something more powerful now. Pharaoh has sent for me, but God has sent another plan and another way. Thank God. He went before Pharaoh. He heard the dream that the magicians and the wise men could not interpret. And Joseph tells Pharaoh about God. Now, look at it. Look at it. Here he is stepping forth, the most powerful man on the world, the most powerful man on earth. Here's his chance. Forget God. Forget those dreams. Here's my opportunity. Forget being a Hebrew. I need to identify like an Egyptian. No, He didn't do any of those things. Praise God. He said, it's not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. Five times he reminds Pharaoh that it's God that's going to get the job done. God is going to answer. God is the one who's going to provide. Praise God. Thank the Lord that he held on to it. And now, promotion. Praise God. And then my mind turned to Acts chapter 7, where the Lord said he sent deliverance. He sent favor. He sent promotion. Praise God. Oh, thank the Lord that God would be there to provide for Joseph to move from the prison to become prime minister in the palace in less than 24 hours. Bang, just like that. Freedom. Privilege. Promotion. Praise God. Oh, our God knows how to get the work done. Our God knows how to change the circumstances. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Joseph had two dreams that his family could interpret and his brothers could get upset about it. Amen. But it took over 20 years for those dreams to come to pass. But then three dreams that others had that eventually led to the deliverance of Joseph and the promotion that he had. God can use anything to get his work done. God can provide for you and minister to you. God can use you to the help and the salvation of your family. God can provide the way that he is going to exalt and lift you up. Oh, hallelujah. Thank the Lord for his goodness. Amen. Now, his brethren come to him for their visits, and Joseph wept. He understood them talking in Hebrew about their treatment of Joseph, about treating him the way they did him. Amen. Joseph wept. When they came the second time, he wept when he saw Benjamin. But oh, thank God, his time was not one of weeping all the time. No, it was one of power. It was one of privilege. It was one that he could make a difference in their lives and understand God sent me. God provided for me. God blessed me. Amen. Genesis 50 and verse 20, though you thought evil against me, he's telling his brothers, God meant it unto good to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Oh, hallelujah. Thank God that the Lord can take circumstances that seemingly would be irreversible and difficult, and how in the world are you going to get through them? But God can take those circumstances and bring about a freedom and a liberty and a deliverance. Hallelujah. For God to show his power on your behalf. Amen. His brothers go back and get their father, get all of the family. 70 of them come. Praise God. Oh, hallelujah. And in verse 23 of Genesis 50, Joseph held the third generation on his knee. Praise God. Oh, the promises of the Lord. The promises that God would fulfill. Now, Joseph is telling the people of Israel, God will surely visit you and bring you out. And he made them promise, you carry my bones out of Egypt. You don't leave me here. When the Lord visits you, when the Lord delivers you, when the Lord takes you out, you take me with you. Praise God. And Joseph died 110 years old. That means he ruled in Egypt for 80 years. He made his mark in that culture, in that civilization, in that economy. That's how powerful he was in all of those circumstances. Amen. He died. He was embalmed. I don't know if he had a fancy sarcophagus and so on, like the pharaohs and so on. Who knows? But what mattered was he was getting ready to leave out of there. Amen. Gave them instructions. You need to be ready to take me out of here. Hallelujah. Amen. And oh, thank God. The Lord is going to send his angel one of these days with instructions about a trumpet, about a shout, about a voice. Hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Circumstances that were difficult. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the furnace were definitely difficult circumstances. Amen. But you know who it was that recognized that God sent his angel? It was that heathen king, Nebuchadnezzar, who said, God hath sent his angel and delivered Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Amen. King Darius would have Daniel thrown into the lion's den because he was hoodwinked into writing a decree, and the decree could not be reversed. Oh, that people would look at the word of the Lord like that. We can't reverse the word of God. We can't change the word of God. We can't add to the word of God. We can't take away from the word of God. We're just going to believe it. We're going to receive it. We're going to obey it. Hallelujah. We're going to hold on to it. Praise God. And it was King Darius who would hear Daniel declare, the Lord hath sent his angel and shut the mouths of this lion. Hallelujah. Oh, I agree with Brother Mike. We can claim that the Lord would shut the mouths of the demonic spirits that would come and try to drag you down, that would come and try to pull you away, that would try to come and strike fear in your heart. Thank God that we know the Lord will send his angel and minister to you, because they are ministering spirits sent to minister to them who are the heirs of salvation. Turn to somebody and say, that's you and me. Praise God. That's who the angels will come and minister to. Thank God. You can believe it. You can expect it. You can receive it, because the angel is going to be dispatched. Time to sound the trumpet. Time to give the voice. Time to hear the shout. Praise God. And the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Praise God. Oh, I'm glad he came from heaven. I'm glad they gave his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I'm glad the sound came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind that filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. Twice he came from heaven to Mary in Bethlehem. He came on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 in the Spirit. And the Lord himself is going to come when that trumpet sound, and the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. We're not going to run around trying to put a bunch of bones in a bag and say, hey, Joseph told us to take his bones, grab them. We better get going here. Oh, it's not going to happen. We're going to meet our loved ones in the sky. Hallelujah. We're going to rise up above every problem, above every difficulty, above every assault of the enemy. Thank God. We're going to rise above all of those things and meet the Lord himself in the air. Praise God. Caught up together to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Praise God. We're waiting for that moment. We're waiting for that time. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, Paul said, we're going to be changed. Thank God. Thank God. Change for the better. That's the kind of change the Lord brings all the time. Change for the better. Amen. The devil tries to discourage you. The devil tries to distract you. The devil tries to bring doubt. But the Lord brings change for the better, and there will be that ultimate change. This mortal putting on immortality, this corruptible putting on incorruption. How is that going to happen? It's a mystery. But the Lord knows how to get it done. Praise God. Now, let's back up for just one moment to John 20 and 21. It's after the resurrection. The disciples were struggling with doubt. When they heard about the empty tomb, they thought it was an idle tale. When they heard about the resurrection, they had doubts. That's just the humanity of the situation. It's just the difficulty That we, you know, that's why we don't sow to the flesh. We need to sow to the Spirit. A focus there to feed on the Word of God. Man not living by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. To have that sustenance, have that energy, have that strength, have that health in the Spirit. Praise God. Oh, they struggled with it. But the Lord showed up and gave them peace. Peace. Praise God. And then he said, as my Father sent me, so send I you. Praise God. In the same dimension of power, with the same message of truth, with the same strength of the Spirit. Yeah, that's why he breathed on them. And that's why he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Because I'm sending you. You're not going to go in your own power. You're not going to go in your own ability. You're not going to go in your own intellect. You're not going to devise your own philosophy and truth. No, I'm going to give you truth. I'm going to send you with power. I'm going to send you with strength. Praise God. And so our response, our willingness, our determination, here I am, Lord, send me. Isaiah had that attitude. Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up. It wasn't just a thrill that he would experience and that he would think about and wonder, oh, my goodness, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. I saw it just fill the temple. I heard them cry out, holy, holy, holy. And then I recognized how undone I am, how unclean I am. But then an angel came. It wasn't just something that he relived, you know, and tried to recreate in his mind and so on. No, he stepped forward. Here I am, Lord. Send me. Praise God. And the power of the Lord ministering to him. It wasn't easy. You could read the chapter there, Isaiah chapter 6. It wasn't something grand and beautiful that he was sending him to. He had to deal with people. And it was a challenge. God sending you. All kinds of attitudes out there. All kinds of thoughts and teachings and ideas. All kinds of concepts about freedom and liberty that really are making them more bound. I got the freedom to do whatever I want. Yeah, can you quit anytime you want? Huh. Yeah, and those concepts become even more imprisoning, become even more strongholds that need to be broken. But your prayer, your moving in the Spirit, your speaking truth, praise God, is the way to do the work of God for liberty. That's why he said, I'm sending you. That's why he said, receive the Holy Ghost. That's why he went with them, confirming the word with signs following. That's why he promised them, lo, I am with you always. Praise God. And that's what we can receive. That's what we can believe. That's what we can rely upon. That's what we can trust. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand again now, please. Oh, praise God. Joseph gotten the attitude, God, you're sending me this mess. God, you're sending me to these circumstances. This is garbage. This is stupid. You know, his young mind could have processed it all in that way. But no, he held on. He held on. And oh my goodness, what a journey. But the Lord there with him. Four times in Genesis 39, the Lord was there. Again in Acts 7, the Lord was with him. That's what we've got to value. That's what we've got to hold on to. That's what we've got to recognize. Lord, I need you with me. And when you're with me, Lord, you can send me. Because I want to see salvation in my family. Because I want to see needs met. I want to see circumstances change. Praise God. I want to hold my brother and weep together, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Can we reach out to him? Can we commit to him? Can we determine we're going to follow him?